Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise as we bow our hearts before you, Lord. O God, you have given us, O God, a mighty position, Father, in Christ Jesus. A position that we are to realize, O God, in a justification that you mean to manifest in our lives. A justification that is of your righteousness. A justification, O God, that is birthed, O God, in Christ Jesus. A justification that is brought into our lives by the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. A justification in a position, O God, that you have ordained in our lives. We are a people of promise, O God. And it is by promise that we come to you. It is not by merit that we stand before you. It is by promise. It is as we hear the word of God, as we take hold of the word of God, it is as we choose to walk into what the word of God declares that we are truly blessed, O God. So, Father, enable us to understand what it means for us to be justified, Father. What it means for us, O God, to realize the position that you have justified by the Spirit in Christ Jesus for us. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to talk about justification. And justification is often portrayed as a very theological term. And I would like to open it in terms of practical realities to your life and my life. Justification, doctrines on justification have divided the church. One part of the church says justification by works. Another part of the church says justification by faith. But justification, that word is used in many different contexts in the Word of God. And as we read the Word of God, we will see that God has a very amazing reality of our being justified before Him. And it's very exciting to realize what that justification really means. All right? Let's start with the very basic scriptures that we have on justification. Let's turn to the book of Galatians. Let's turn to Romans first, all right? Romans. Chapter 3, verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Verse 31, do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. So it says here that we are justified by faith. Let's look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 22 of chapter 3. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. If you have an old King James Bible, it says faith of Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterwards be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. That we might be justified by faith. All right. Now let's turn to the book of James. James chapter 2. From verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know? O foolish man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Praise the Lord. And verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Praise the Lord. So these two seemingly contrary points have caused a big division in the Christian church, okay? That one part of the church says justification by works, and the other part of the church says justification by faith. But if you put those scriptures together, you will find that what God is saying is that there is a justification by faith, but that justification by faith has to be proven through the works that manifest in your life. So faith has to be lived. And the justification that God imputes to us is as we live the faith, right, that God wants us to demonstrate through our lives, right? If you go to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, God tells us very clearly that without faith we have no place before Him, right? He will not accept us, right? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Right? He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So without faith it is impossible to please God. So, are there actually contradictions in the scripture with regards to justification? I think not. It depends on where you start in the scriptures, okay? And so what we're going to do now is to come to these two seemingly contradictory scriptures, and we're going to see something that is the foundation of what faith is based on, okay? So let's go to the cross. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 11. Isaiah 53 verse 11. Okay. At the middle of that verse, it says, by His knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. By His knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many. Okay. By His knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many. The key to justification is that knowledge that was manifested through Jesus Christ. We are justified through what God reveals to us in Jesus Christ. What God manifested uniquely through Jesus Christ, as opposed to someone like Abraham or someone like Isaiah or someone like Elijah or someone like John the Baptist or even someone like Paul or Peter. There is something that Jesus Christ realized, that here in the book of Isaiah it says, by his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. Right? By His knowledge. Okay. So we want to look at that word, His knowledge. Okay. Before I do that, let's look at another verse. Okay. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 11, that will bring some clarity, all right? It says in verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Here it says that we are sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. It takes the whole process of sanctification into God. It takes the whole process of justification into God. And this is very important, because for something to really have credibility, it has to be something that is of God. And here it is saying that the two processes of sanctification simply means being made holy. All right? Sanctification and justification is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah, we read that the Holy One, the Righteous One, justifies us by His knowledge. So God manifested something through the man Jesus. Because Jesus Christ is both true God and true man. But through the man Jesus Christ, God manifested something that is very necessary for our understanding of faith. Okay. So we have said that Jesus manifested a knowledge in Himself that would become the basis of our justification. All right? And what Jesus Christ manifested in Himself is referred to the Bible as the mystery of Christ. Okay? As the mystery of Christ. And it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal what was in Jesus Christ inside of us. And as that revelation of the knowledge that was in Jesus Christ is brought inside of us, we are justified in that knowledge. Now, to realize that knowledge, you need to have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ has then to be lived through the life that you live. It has to be demonstrated in things that you do every day. So you see, the scripture is not contradicting itself. If you see things from the perspective of what God is saying in Himself, and you realize what God has manifested through Himself, you will realize that He is talking about something that is meant to develop inside of us. And as we walk into what He has ordained in our lives, we will realize this position of being justified before God. Now, why is it important to be justified before God? Now, in positionally, God has justified the entire church in Jesus Christ. That's theological. But in practice, it is as you walk into the things of God that you realize this justification. So you find that as you grow in the Lord, you realize there are a release of anointings, there's a release of giftings, there's a release of authority, there's a release of position that God gives you. And all of these are a result of something called justification being actually manifested in your peculiar life. Are you with me? When you are justified before God in practical terms, you can realize things in God and walk into them, and it will manifest. Right? You can pray for people and they can be healed instantly. You can pray for people and they can be delivered of demons instantly. Right? But all that comes with authority and position that we have received and realized in the knowledge that we have actualized from Jesus Christ by the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, we actualize that by faith in Him. Am I making sense here? Right? So the conduit between me and Jesus Christ and you and Jesus Christ is your faith in Him. Okay? Now, what establishes Jesus Christ in a unique position is what He did in Himself for us. So in Jesus Christ, He manifested a perfect faith. And in that perfect faith, He realized a knowledge of God that is available for you and me to receive. Now, we receive it by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Right? He realized that position by manifesting a perfect faith in His God. Okay? So, I want you to see this and understand this whole process of justification as not being just a doctrine or a theology, but something that is practical in your life. Now, all of us can do certain things in God. Now, the things we do is what has been opened to us. Now, what has been opened to us is what has been brought alive to us in the justification that we have realized in our own hearts through our faith in Jesus Christ. Can you see that? In the kingdom of God, you can't bluff things, all right? That's why in the kingdom of God, everything has to be started step by step by step by step. There is no instantly becoming something great in the kingdom of God. It has to be built. You have to be justified through the process of growing in the Lord. God has to justify you. Right? That's what I'm trying to say here, okay? 1 Corinthians 6:11 says that justification and sanctification are in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit. That means it is something that the Holy Spirit does with us, taking what is in Jesus Christ and working it inside of us. For that to happen, two things are needed. You need to have faith in Jesus Christ, and you must be prepared to live Him in your life. You have to be able to walk into what God has given you in Jesus Christ. You cannot just by belief become someone in the kingdom of God. You have to walk into it. It has to be manifested in your life. So in Galatians and in Romans, Paul is talking about justification by faith. In James, he's saying, if that faith is not manifested in your walk in God, it is worthless. Because faith has to be manifested with an evidence. Faith comes with an evidence. That evidence is only realized when you live something in God. Are you with me? You can't sit down in your ivory tower and say that somebody will be healed because we are justified. It has to be manifested in practical terms. You have to be able to stand before God in a position that God has given you, in a position that you have realized from God in the name of Jesus. And when you pray for someone, that person is healed. Are you with me? Right? In praying for that person, you're exercising your faith. Right? Yes, you believe in Jesus Christ, but in the process of praying for someone, you're exercising your faith. Are you with me? All right? So you need to exercise your faith. So faith is not faith unless it is exercised. Right? So the scripture is not contradicting itself. The scripture is bringing forth something that was of great importance to us, in the sense that it is telling us how faith is brought to perfection. Right? Whenever you walk into your faith by living it, you are being perfected in that faith. Right? God is working inside of you something that is going to make you a new creation. All right? As you walk into the things of God, God demonstrates Himself in your life. He brings change into your life. He brings change into your character, your nature, how you think, how you act, how you behave, how you relate. And it's all demonstrated. Right? You can't love your wife by just keeping it for yourself and saying, I love her, but I won't demonstrate it. It doesn't mean a blooming thing. Right? It is only love when you demonstrate it. So everything in your Christian faith has to be demonstrated so that you will understand that everything in your Christian faith is based on an evidence. It is real. It is not just belief. And any religion that demands faith blindly is falsehood. Any religion that says you can't question or ask questions is basically telling you that it cannot prove itself. But in Christianity, God defines faith in such a way that He says that faith has an evidence. Right? Now, if you exercise that faith in the right way, the evidence will demonstrate what is right. All right? Let me show it to you in terms of two extreme positions. All right? Two extreme positions. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 19. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So this is an extreme position of the works of the flesh. And the works of the flesh will manifest, this is your fallen flesh, it will manifest in things tangible. When you get angry, when you get jealous, when you get selfish, right? When you manifest bitterness, all those things we see in our lives sometimes, and we see that there is that part of our life that is not justified before God. But as God brings you into the things of God, there is a change. And when that change is manifested, you will see the change in your life. So what does He say? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Right? How are you justified? You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. All right? So if you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, it will result in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You will have love in your heart. You will have joy in your life. You will have peace in your life. You will have long-suffering or patience. You will have kindness. You will have goodness. You will have faithfulness. You will have gentleness. You will have self-control. Against such, there is no law. Are you listening? So if you are justified, you are justified in terms of something that is demonstrated in very clear terms. You cannot bluff the love. You cannot bluff the peace either. You either have the peace or you don't have the peace. Right? If you are a frightened person, that means something is not right. Right? Something needs to be realized in your life. You have to get out of the fear. You've got to get out of the anger. You've got to get out of the bitterness. There is no life in those kind of things. So justification, right, it's a process by which God brings into you something that will enable you to realize something that is of Him. So justification is not just simply positionally being in Christ. It is more than that. It is something realizable. When God justifies you and you have realized that justification, it results in something new in your life. Right? It results in a new nature. It results in a new character. And in that process, your faith is being proven. Right? It is not the figment of somebody's religious imagination. Right? If something is not proven in your life, it is not true. Right? So David writes in the Psalm, "Thy word, O God, is tested." It has to be tested. It has to be tested in your life. But in order for it to be tested in your life, you must be willing to walk into it. Right? If you sit down and say, "I don't believe in God and therefore I dismiss God," then you're a fool. Because you've never given God a chance to show what He can bring forth in your life. Are you with me? If somebody just comes and tells you, "Oh, this is the book of God, don't question it, just accept everything that is inside of it," then it's never going to be proven to you that it's real. It has to be tested. How is it tested? If the word of God is true, it has to be realizable in your life. And that's the challenge being given to the Lord. I mean, that's the challenge being given to the church. Right? So when you were born again, was it real or not? It was very real. Right? Were you justified at that point? Yes, you were. Did that justification result in actual realities that you realized in yourself? Yes, it was. It was not just make-believe. It was not just some smart preacher man moving your emotions. And this is very important when you minister to people. They must be born again, not moved by emotions. And when they are born again, they would have tangibly experienced God. So never try and preach the word of God by moving people's emotions. People are not saved by their emotions. People are saved by the truth. If we are preaching the truth will be manifested. It will justify itself in that person's heart. You don't have to market the gospel, guys. We don't have to market the gospel. The gospel stands in the merits of the Lamb. The gospel has got the power to transform human lives totally. The question is whether you have the faith to pursue it. But everything in the Word of God will see its manifestation in your life. All right? So that justification comes as you pursue the realization of what God is giving you in the Scriptures. So justification is not just some expression of cheap grace. Or because God will just forgive me. Over and over again, God will just forgive me. I can just carry on doing whatever I want. Right? As long as I'm born again, I'm going to heaven, I can go and live anything I want, it'll be fine. No, brother. It won't be fine. You're going to have trouble. When there's shaking in the world and you are left all alone, you will realize the reason why everything in your life is shaking is because when you had the time to walk in God and realize His strength and realize His power and realize His grace and His mercy, you just wasted your time. So I want to bring you to something that opens this idea of the knowledge that is in Jesus Christ to you. It's found in the Old King James Bible. We will start with Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. So why are we justified by the knowledge that Jesus Christ realized? Paul gives us an answer in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. And I'm going to read this, Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, from the old King James Bible, okay? Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. Because in all of our modern translations, they have changed the words. So in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, Paul writes, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And thy life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now when Jesus loved you and gave himself for you, he manifested a perfect faith for you. It's available to you. And what Paul is saying is that I live by the faith of the Son of God. If you have the modern translation, it says, I live by the faith in the Son of God. There is no doubt there is something called faith in the Son of God. Nobody is disputing that. But here he's opening to you what Isaiah prophesies, all right? That by his knowledge, the righteous one will justify many. How can somebody else's knowledge justify you? It justifies you through this word called faith. Now his knowledge was manifested in a faith that was a perfect faith. And Paul is saying here, I have realized the ability to live by that faith. Are you listening? Now you can understand justification. Why is God justifying you? He's justifying you because you can receive and realize of the faith of Jesus Christ. Now why does James say that you must live that faith in order to prove that you have that faith? That's also true. What you receive from Jesus has to be lived. Unless you live it, you're not appropriating it. Unless you live something, you're not taking hold of it. You cannot just simply read the book of Genesis and say, I've read the book of Genesis. It means nothing. Unless you're going to live it, and unless you're going to understand it, unless you're going to see those promises that are in the book of Genesis realized in your life. Otherwise, it has got no meaning. So you have to realize that. So as a Christian, you have to realize what God has given you. So in this knowledge of the righteous one, God has manifested a faith that you and I need. Can you see that? Now, in the King James Bible, there are also other phrases in the same chapter, or rather in the next chapter, that tell you about faith in Jesus Christ. So let's turn to that so that you can get that too. All right, let me just... Chapter 3, verse 25. Or rather, chapter 3, verse 26. Chapter 3, verse 26. Now this is what the old King James writes, okay? For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So there is something called faith in Christ Jesus. There is something called faith of Christ Jesus. All right? The faith of Christ Jesus is what enables the supernatural to come inside of you. The faith of Jesus Christ takes you out of your own weaknesses and brings you into something that will enable you to do all things. That's why the Bible says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All things. Why? Because you have access to the faith of Jesus Christ. Therefore, as a person, when God gives you something and you realize that he's asking you of something that you can't even do in a month of Sundays, you need to understand the reason why he's calling you into that is because he means to do something that is going to demonstrate what he can do rather than what you can do. Do you understand? When God changes your life, right, he's demonstrating to you that he can save you. Right? When God removes the sickness, he's trying to tell you that he's doing something that medical science can't do. So he heals you. Right? And that is a demonstration that this is the living God who is doing something real. And he doesn't just stop there. He says, "You can, if you are willing to trust me and walk with me, I will change your nature, I will change your character, I will change your thinking, I will change your attitudes, I will change your marriage, I will change your relationship between you and your wife and your husband. All right, I will change your relationship with your kids. Because what I'm bringing into your life will demonstrate itself to you. It is not just something make-believe. All right, so Christian faith is never make-believe. It is not a religion. Right? It is something that is real and tangible. It is life. It is life. Right? If anyone tells you that, you know, you just have to believe because it is just there in the Word of God, that's really a half-truth. And so many Christians just believe things, you know, just because they have given a theological statement. They never go out and check that believing in God makes a difference in their lives. So after 50 years, they don't know whether God is real or not real. But that's not why God wants you to be a Christian. He wants you to be a Christian so that He can show that He is real. So you can live by Him and realize a new life for yourself, a new character for yourself, a new future for yourself, a new future for your generations. Are you with me? All right. Praise the Lord. Okay. So there is something called the faith of Jesus Christ. But let's look at verse 22. But the Scripture hath confined all under sin. Now, how does the Scripture confine all of us under sin? Through the law. Through the law, God tells you you're a sinner. Right? If you go through the laws, you can easily find out how many things you haven't done. Right? Now, that's why God gave the law. So that people will understand we are sinners. Right? Are you with me? So the highest law says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. All of us here have broken that. Even right now, we have broken that. Right? We don't love God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. But all of us love God in some extent. That's true. But there was time past when we didn't have time for God at all. That also was true. But from that time past to the time that was now, God has brought us into a reality where we all love God in some measure. But there is still a lot to do. God wants us to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. Now, who loved God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength? Did Moses do that? He didn't do that. Did Elijah do that? He didn't do that. Did John the Baptist do that? He didn't do that. Only Jesus Christ did. Huh? And that's why he's the only one who came back from the dead. He died and he came back. Elijah was raptured, but he didn't come back from the dead. All right, can you see that? All right? The only one who tasted death and came back from the dead was Jesus Christ. So many people tell you philosophies. Many people, so-called holy men, have given you a whole bunch of stuff that sounds good. But it's never been put to test. So that's why the Bible says, you know, having faith is very nice. But that faith must be demonstrated in life. Correct? And so the faith of Jesus Christ was demonstrated through death. It was manifested in life eternal. A new life. Amen. And people touched him and saw him and ate with him and talked with him. They were taught by him. They spent time with him. Right? They fellowshipped with him after he came back from the dead. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say that just by the word of somebody. It says that by the words of other people. And today the Bible is asking you, do you believe in Jesus risen? If you believe in Jesus risen, then you have new life ahead of you. Because if Jesus Christ is risen, then by His faith you have the possibility of a whole new beginning. You have the possibility of realizing things that are in the power of His resurrection. New things can come inside of you, and those new things God says through His word will be proven in your life. It will be justified in your life. It will be shown, demonstrated in your life. Now all of us are sitting here because certain things in the word of God have been demonstrated in our lives. There are, of course, a whole bunch of other things that we have to grow into. So our faith is a faith that is growing. It can only grow if you walk into that faith. Right? If you just sit down and say, I believe, I believe, I believe every Sunday, it ain't going to happen. Right? It has to be put to practice in your life. It has to be put to practice in your relationship with your wife. Maybe she's not so educated and you have got 9 degrees after your name, right? So you despise her and the Bible says you can't despise your wife. Yeah? Maybe you got married to her because you got a nice fat dowry. And then you found out that you can't live with a dowry, you have to live with a wife. And now you've become a Christian and God's opened a new door for you. Hello, brother, you have to learn to love your wife. And through Christ Jesus, you can learn to love your wife.
Because through Christ Jesus, she is not what she used to be. She can be something that is entirely brand new. It will take time, but do you have the faith to see that change in your wife's life? Are you with me? You have a child who is not so smart. You used to study everything so quickly, and you got all those degrees after your name, and you believe that your child should automatically be smart. But unfortunately, your child turned out to be not so smart. And without you even realizing, you just started despising this child versus the other child. And God says, they are your children, and I have given them to you as a heritage. And if you understand the scripture, they are to you an eternal heritage. And God is asking you to exercise your faith over that child who is so average. And see that she will not be average. She will be extraordinary. Because everyone in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ is extraordinary. Hello? It will take time, but it will come out. Right? Is that true? Yes, it's true. Look at Peter the fisherman. Big mouth. Caught fish and thought he knew a lot of things. Right? He betrayed his master. Right? But he became the leader of the apostles. And when Jesus Christ was through with him, he was an apostle. He was no longer a fisherman. Right? He was a leader of men. And if you meet him right now in heaven, you will find out that he is a big man. Hello. Far more impressive than all those guys who've got 25 degrees after their name. Yeah, and he was a fisherman. The Bible says that by testimony. Hello, we read about Peter the fisherman. How many of you read anything else about anybody else? Right? And what you read that was written by Peter the fisherman brings change into your life. Correct? And what he wrote out of the simple things that he learned from God by learning how to become a vessel of God brings out so much that is so rich and so abundant. Are you with me? Okay. So everything in your Christian faith is meant to be proven. And the reason why we are justified by faith is because of this overriding reality of the faith of Jesus Christ. Can you catch that? Now when we express our faith in Jesus Christ, we tap into his faith. All right? So no matter where you are starting, whether you have small faith or whether you have big faith compared to the next guy, ultimately, God is taking you into what is going to be a perfect faith. Can you understand that? So John 1:16 says, of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace, not merit upon merit. So everyone can come into it. So if you go into the villages of India and you start preaching the gospel, don't despise those people because they are uneducated. When Jesus Christ is through with them, they will be totally different people. Right? But unfortunately, we have taught them as if they will always be like that. And we have shut them under the law and we've kept them like that. We have never challenged them to get out of where they are and realize of the potentials of Jesus Christ. We have just been happy making converts. Hello. The gospel is for the manifestation of the sons of God. And the sons of God are no ordinary people. They are extraordinary people. So when we preach the gospel, we preach the gospel. Don't explain things. Oh, this one, he won't understand. It is too deep for him. So we will just keep telling him the salvation message for the next 20 years. Now, how on earth is that poor fellow going to get out and find new life if you keep telling him the salvation message for the next 20 years? Because you assumed that he can't understand. Hello, brother. The Bible says that all of us are to be taught of God. John chapter 6, verse 45. All of us are to be taught by God our Father. And because we have been taught by God our Father, you and I are sitting here. Now, when was the last time you met God the Father? But what is he trying to tell you? That he's touched you in spite of yourself, in spite of the fact that you have not known that. You have been taught. That's why you're alive to the Son. Because no one can reveal the Son except the Father. That's written in the scriptures. Okay? So you must understand this process of justification, because this process of justification is a growth process, guys. God is making you something, and in the process of making you something, He justifies you to stand in positions where He wants to manifest the authority and power of Jesus Christ. So don't just look at yourself as, I'm just an ordinary housewife, I'm just sitting there quietly. Nothing spectacular is ever going to happen to me. You know, we have been teaching those things by implication in the church. Filling the leadership of the church with educated people, thinking that that's what God requires. The more educated they are, the smarter they are. Not really. Not really. Not really. If you read the scriptures, it says that God went to the poor. Blessed are the poor. Why did He say blessed are the poor? Because the poor man knows he's got nothing. And so God can teach him. The rich man has a problem. The rich man, the educated man has a problem. He thinks he has something. And his faith stands unjustified before God because he actually knows nothing. He believes in himself, and God says that's nonsense. What do you believe yourself? You're going to die tomorrow, man. You don't even know how long you're going to live. What is it that you believe in yourself for? Right? But the poor man, you tell him about God, he will just grab it because he has nothing else to live for. And he will grow. And when God starts, if you teach him to realize what God can bring into his life, then the farm will change, the village will change, the national economy will change. Because all those brown lands where it doesn't rain, it'll start raining. Because when that villager starts praying to the living God, it will start raining. And that is fertile ground. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So we have a mission. We have a mission to see people in the church rise up in their justification before God and hold position before God. Every Tom, Dick and Harry, every man, woman and child is a creature of destiny. We've got to think like that, we've got to teach like that, we've got to preach like that. Don't look at what the guy is today. Ask the Lord for the wisdom to convict that guy. Ask the Lord to teach him how to pray in tongues. So he can learn things he doesn't understand, which his mind cannot comprehend. He can learn such things. God took me to a slum church in Bangalore, and he told me to tell those people who could barely read and write that they could by tongues learn and realize things that were hidden in God. He could teach them and he could train them to be something different. But we need pastors to stand there and preach that and teach that and pray that into those people every day. Visiting pastors can't do all these things. They can introduce the idea. But you need pastors who have the faith to see their people rise up and walk and take hold of the rich inheritance that is in God. Yes, it will take time, but it will surely come. You know, we have labored so many years of education to get one silly piece of paper. How many years? 20 years. To get one silly piece of paper. Now, everything you spend time with in God is going to manifest tangibly in your life. You can apply it practically in everything you do every day. You can practically apply it in everything that you do every day. Everything in God is practical. You can apply it wherever you are, whether you are doing astrophysics or whether you're doing mathematics or you're cooking in the kitchen. The knowledge of God is relevant in every area of human endeavor, provided it's not dishonest human endeavor. So we are sanctified, made holy, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in His merits, by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to take the faith of Jesus Christ and work it inside of you so that you can stand justified before God in the faith of Jesus. Hello? And the faith of Jesus Christ is pure, it is perfect, it is unshakable. It will take you through tough times and make you a tougher man. So we have to release a church, right, that sees itself as a people of destiny. Amen? Now let's look at what happens in this knowledge of Jesus Christ that comes through His faith. Let's look at 2 Peter. Okay, hold on before we go to 2 Peter. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. But the scripture had concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ, I'm reading from the old King James Bible, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Can you see that? See, God doesn't just simply give you a gift. He gives you a gift with the faith of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean you can stand with that gift and do amazing miracles immediately. What He's saying is that if you walk into that gift, if you choose to exercise that gift of healing, it will aggregate the faith of Jesus Christ and it will release it, and you will see the dead rise. You will see the lame walk instantly. It has to come because it is built on the faith of Jesus Christ. And this is very important, because very often we pray and we are stuck with our faith. And we immediately think, it is because of my faith, it is not going, this person cannot be healed. How can this person be healed with my faith? But this verse is telling you something important. It is saying, by the faith of Jesus Christ, something has been given to you. The promise has been given to you. Now, because of the faith of Jesus Christ, everything in that promise is realizable. Can you see that? Have I lost you guys? Everything in that promise, the uttermost limits of that promise, are available to you. And Jesus Christ said, check it out, because in my name, if you ask for anything, it will be done for you. It will be given to you. But obviously, you have to grow. You cannot just use the name of Jesus just simply. Right? It has to be manifested to you at a level that God has justified you into. Ultimately, it is God who justifies us. Right? We are sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit means by God. By God, He justifies you. He sanctifies you. It's very important that you understand this. Because of the faith of Jesus Christ, you can be justified. Because of the faith of Jesus Christ and its potentials to be realized in you, walk into it and you will see it manifest. Make time for it. Make time for it, you know. Don't just simply sit down plonked in front of your TV because I need to relax. It doesn't relax anything. It's just stealing your life away, man. Right? Spend some time before the Lord. Exercise your faith and say, Lord, I'm going to read the scriptures and I'm going to understand what's in the scriptures for me and my generations. See, the word of God stands forever, right? Hello. Yeah, the word of God stands forever. What do you know that stands forever other than the word of God? Tell me. You mean to say if you spend 16 hours working every day, you will live forever? The company will keep you forever? The company will truly appreciate your hard work? The company will keep on giving you increments forever? Your managing director will come and tell you, oh, James, I'm so grateful for what you have sacrificed for this company. When was the last time your manager came and told you that? Yet we give our whole life, soul, everything to the company. When it comes to the things of God, I'm too tired. I'm too busy. Ask God to make time for you. Exercise your faith. Exercise your faith and say, Lord, I want this time for the word. I want this time for the word. So grant me the favor with my boss. Let the hours I spend in my work manifest a work that is so much better than everybody else around. Nobody is going to kill the golden goose that lays the golden egg. The goose that lays the golden egg. Right? They will keep that goose. Right? Because you come up with ideas that nobody else has got. Can God give you such things? Yes, but do you believe it or not? Or you're just trying your best? If you keep trying your best, all you will get is your best. And by now you should have understood that your best is not enough. There are younger fellows coming out of university who are smarter than you. There are younger fellows coming out who have got more energy than you, brother. Right? So how are you going to stay ahead of the game? Very simple. You have to have the energy and strength of the Lord your God. Can He give you that? Yes, He can. But you must be willing to pursue it. The Bible says that the life of Jesus can be made manifest to your mortal flesh, but you've got to pursue it every day. You've got to pray it in. And if it takes 10 years, it takes 10 years, but it will manifest. But we ask for one day, we ask for 5 weeks, and then we stop. We don't pursue the whole thing through. But when you wanted to become an engineer, you pursued it for how many years? Oh, from the time I was when I was 11 years old, I knew I was going to be an engineer. And so I worked towards that. Why do we pursue mediocrity with such passion? And when the real substance is given to us, we just drop dead on it. See, faith is a big thing, isn't it? Faith justifies you. What does it mean, justifies? It opens doors for you, brother. It opens doors in your life for you. Justification is not just some theology. Brother, it actually opens doors for your life. You go in and people notice you. You've got presence. You've got charisma. Not the kind of charisma that is birthed by con men just speaking sweet words. But everything of you is of substance. When you speak, people hear you. Because you speak by the Spirit of the living God. You're not depending on some cheap marketing glitz that some joker wrote in some management book about how you should present yourself. Everything about you is presentable. People notice you. The moment you walk into a place, people notice you. Why? Because the Spirit of the living God is over you, man. Because when you open your mouth, out comes wisdom. Hello. Because you pursued that wisdom from God. You exchange the mediocrity of man for the brilliance of God. And God is coming through in your life. Hello. If you're truly brilliant, all your generations will be employed. But you see, it takes someone to take the walk of faith. How do I ensure my generations after me will be faithful to God? That's why it's the faith of Jesus and not just my faith. Are you listening? That's why Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, or my faith. What is He authoring and finishing your faith with? He's finishing, authoring and finishing His faith with His faith. That's why it can work, brother. That's why the mountain will move. It will move. We will see it come. It will take time. Why will it take time? Because we must have the right motives, isn't it? God cannot just release power based on crookedness. So faith that is justified is faith that is righteous. It must have the right substance. So what is it that justifies us? It is that substance of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So faith is substance of hope, correct? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Now that substance is dependent on where you are setting your hope on. If you are setting your hope on hard work, then the substance that you have is only going to be based on your hard work. If you set your hope on cheating that fellow and conning him of a deal, then all that substance will be based on that cheating. And the end result is you will become a cheat. And one day everyone will know you are a cheat. Hello, when your wife finds out you are a cheat, hello, that's the end of your marriage. Your kids will also know you are a cheat. Hello. So yes, you earned 10 million bucks. What are you going to do with all that 10 million bucks when everybody knows you are a cheat? What are you going to know? What are you going to do with those 10 million bucks that killed other people in order for you to get it? What will a man give for his soul? What life are you going to have with those 10 million bucks when you don't have a soul anymore? You don't have a heart anymore? When there is no meaning to anything? All right? So faith, the reason why God justifies us on faith is based on substance. So the Greek word for substance is hypostasis. Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3 verse 14. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Now the word for confidence is hypostasis. Alright, so that confidence is not simply the word confidence that is just cooked up. It is based on substance. Whose substance? The substance of Jesus. Because it is the substance of Jesus, the earlier sentence says, you have become a partaker of Christ. A partaker of his character, a partaker of his nature, a partaker of his thoughts, a partaker of his substance, a partaker of his faith, the partaker of his love, the partaker of his thought processes. Alright? You are a new creation in the unveiling and its substance. Now that's why God justifies you on the basis of faith. But that faith has to have substance. In order for you to realize that substance, you must do what James tells you to do. You've got to walk into that substance. Amen? Do you understand what it means to walk into the substance of Jesus Christ? That means if you're married for 10 years and your marriage is just going down the drain, right? Your wife has become part of the furniture. It's time for you to understand that she cannot be part of the furniture. She's supposed to be part of your life. The two shall become one flesh. So you better start exercising the substance of Jesus Christ that restores her to a rightful position in partnership with you. Hello? Has to be like that. And if you are a wife who has been manipulating your husband for years, making him do things that he does because you nag him to oblivion, he doesn't even fail even to come home, which is why he spends 20 hours in the office, because at least in the office he can sit down there in peace. Then you have to understand that he is coming back to his home and he should be comfortable in his home and he must feel that he belongs in his home, that you are part and parcel of that process that makes him belong somewhere. So if you're manipulating your husband, then you can't have a marriage, because manipulation is not the basis of marriage. All right? Are you with me? So one day when you are watching your kids and your eldest son at the age of 21 just went through his first divorce, you need to understand that he received the substance for that divorce from you and your blessed husband. Because at the age of 21, he realized that if this is going to be the basis of marriage, I might as well get out of it while I'm still ahead of the game. Hello? And all this is evidence from generation to generation. It is written, brother. So the fruit of the flesh is what? Adultery. Right? Did we read that? What flesh is that? The fallen flesh. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. Correct? Am I right? So, if you are an adulterous father, you can be sure you will have an adulterous son, most probably. Unless God gets him before you got him. Yeah? So, if you are an angry father who gets angry with everything, then you can be sure your son is also going to be an angrier man, because you have given him, bequeathed him all the wonders of your heart. So next time you cane your teenage son, have a good look at him. You will see yourself there. So who are you caning? If you are a manipulative wife, you will create manipulative daughters and they will manipulate you too. Hello? So justification, so important. So we have to be justified in righteousness, okay? And this process of justification is a process that comes with an evidence. Okay, so we are justified by faith. That faith has an evidence, and that evidence is lived. It ain't evidence until it is lived. All right? Praise the Lord. Okay, so as we come to Holy Communion, Jesus talks about a Passover. Because this process of justification takes us into a Passover. Right? A Passover into the Mount of the Lord. Why? Because we are sons of God, both male and female. God wants us to all to understand that He's given us a position. Before the beginning of the creation, He knew us. And it is His love that has brought us this far. So let's pursue that love and realize what God has given us in this Passover. And this Passover is creative. So we are created in Christ Jesus. And God is doing a process. That's why we have seen tangible changes in our nature and our character. Hello? So you can fall in love with your wife after 10 years of marriage. Can. Once Jesus has come alive inside of you, He can turn that marriage around. From an existence into a marriage that is a partnership between two equal partners. Yeah. So young people, you want to get married, the first thing you do is find God. Because you're going to need Him to make that marriage work. You're going to need Him to enable you to have faith in order to make that marriage work. So when you are ministering somewhere, pastoring a church somewhere, and you start counseling people before they get married, don't throw the rule book at them and say, you know, bring Jesus into their lives. You've got to tell them that. And then you've got to teach them that as they sit as a married couple under your ministry. You've got to teach them to walk into the faith of Jesus Christ and tell them you can see another person with different eyes. Jesus looked at the woman caught in adultery. He didn't say that you are going to hell. He had compassion for that woman. He had so much of compassion that that woman was willing to wash his feet in public. He had such a dramatic impact on that woman's life. If you met that woman today, she'll be one of the greatest women who has ever lived. Hello. Far greater than many, many men who thought they were great men. Hello. When you meet that woman again, in the future, when you go to be with the Lord, that woman will be no longer be anything like what she started off as. And when you see that woman, understand that the secret to her success is that she came to know His love and His faith for her. That's why she changed. She's not sitting in heaven as a prostitute anyway. Hello, she's sitting in heaven as a saint. Perfected in the love of her master for her. And when you meet her, she will be full of Him. And she will tell you all about Him. And how He is the life. And she will know it. And when she talks to you, she will be standing in whatever God has given her, in a position justified by her master. Justified by her beloved. Amen. So rise up and walk, guys. We've got so many things going for us. All right? Rise up and walk, right? Get hold of Jesus Christ. Ask the Holy Spirit to tell you all about Him. Make Him alive to your heart. So, Luke 22, verse 14. The first verse tells us what justification is all about. What does that first verse tell us? Verse 14. Luke 22 verse 14, when the hour had come, He sat down and the 12 apostles with Him. That is a position justified through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Those 12 apostles, 11 of them are going to run away tomorrow morning. Right? Or rather, tomorrow morning, early morning, they're going to run away. Right? And so, Jesus Christ gives them a position, right? He puts them with him, right? And then he says, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, because I'm going to suffer for its fulfillment. And the next verse says, it is going to be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Right? So he sits with them and he partakes this supper with them, for which he is going to suffer, knowing that these guys are going to betray him. And he says, with fervent desire, I have desired. Now that is faith, man. Perfect faith. Perfect faith manifested in a perfect love. That will give these guys, who don't deserve it, a position with him. And in the prayer that he makes before he goes to the cross, in John chapter 17, verse 22, he says, Father, the glory that thou hast given me, I give to them. How would you like to suffer for something and then when the glory is given to you, you give it to somebody else? How many percent? 100%. Now that's the difference between Jesus Christ and us. That's why we are justified by the knowledge that he accumulated for us. Praise the Lord for that. That God would be willing to justify us on that basis is amazing. That's why all things are possible for you and me. That doesn't mean God will make it all drop out like Santa Claus. God will still ask you to make that faith walk. But if you walk in that faith walk, he will enable you to receive of the faith of Jesus, and therefore you can do all things. And you will see that justification of God in your life manifest in a new nature, a new character. You will see success come to you. You will see people open doors for you. You will see people of all walks of life listen to you when you speak. When you talk to your children, they will listen to you because they know you make sense. How do they know you make sense? Most teenagers don't listen to their parents. Hello, didn't we do the same thing? I used to do that. I had no time to listen to my parents. After a certain age, I knew it all. Right? So for a teenager to turn around and listen to his father, boy, that takes a miracle, man. Praise the Lord. So what does the Lord say? Take this cup and share it among yourselves, right? Verse 17. Take this cup and share it. What's that cup all about? His witness. The witness of his faith for you. That cup is what justifies you. Because you can drink of that cup and have that witness of that cup within you. That's what justifies you. And all of us can drink. And God is demonstrating it very simply. He says, drink of the cup. Can't you drink of the cup? I mean, do you have to go on a 40-day and 40-night fast before you drink of the cup? You can drink of the cup. God is trying to give you a picture of how easy it is to take hold of the witness of Jesus Christ. You don't have to stand on your head. It has been given to you. So what is the battle in a Christian life? Your will to acknowledge that witness, isn't it? Your will and my will to say yes and amen to what God is saying. That's where the battle is. Because when God tells us things that we don't like to hear, that's where the battle is. But the battle has already been won, brother. So the rich young man walks away from Jesus Christ. Why? He says, go and sell everything and come. So the young man just turns away and he walks away. So as he walks away, the disciples turn to him and say, if that is the criteria for the kingdom of God, who on earth is going to come to the kingdom of God, Lord? So Jesus says, with man it is impossible. But with God all things are possible. So when we take the ministry out, when we start pastoring churches and we start ministering to people, it is not about what we can do or what we can impart, it is about what God can manifest in their lives. So nothing is impossible. So if you go into a village and you start preaching in a village, you must start preaching that the rain will come down. But you must be willing to spend that time in prayer for the rain to come down. Until God gives you that witness, and then you can go and stand before Ahab and tell him. Right? The opposite, of course. The rain will come down when I say so. All right, praise the Lord.
Verse 18, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Praise the Lord. The fruit of the vine come out of us. It is in that fruitfulness that we are justified, brother. The hallmark of justification is in our fruitfulness. Do you want to be fruitful? So get involved in the ministries of the church. Where else are you going to be fruitful? Hello? You know, ministry of helps, so many things to get involved in. Make that time, make that commitment, right? It's a walk of faith. Nobody said faith is easy, right? Make that time. Trust God to make you what He has called you to become. Don't look at the circumstance and say, I've got no time for all these things because I need so much of time. In order to make sure that I understand all the work that my subordinates are doing, so I'm so busy. Hello. What makes you think that you cannot just depend on God and God will just tell you, check that fellow's work, you leave these guys' work, they're all okay. That work is where the mistake is. And He says, that paragraph there is where the mistake is. Think God can't tell you things like that? Hello. So what you use, straight away He's cut 5 hours of your work already, isn't it? Hello. Hello guys, we talk about time management and all this garbage in the management world. Hello. We can manage by the Spirit. We can know what to manage and what not to manage. Right? Somebody brings a complex paper and throws it on your desk. And then, you know, you say, am I supposed to go through this whole thing to understand what he is saying? And the Lord says, no, you just turn to page 7, read that. And this is what he is saying. And the Lord can just explain it to you in 5 minutes. And he says, I can give you the understanding for it. So ask him to present it to you tomorrow morning and you will understand it. And so he presents it to you tomorrow morning and you've gone through the paper and you understand it and you can make the business proposal. Right? You can take the recommendation to the board and say, this is it, this works. There's so many ways to skin a cat, brother, but you've never tried to skin a cat by the Holy Spirit yet. Right? If you try to skin a cat in your own strength, boy, it's very hard. It's a very messy business. But if you do it by the Spirit, hello? You know why we find it so difficult? Because we've got this religious picture about God. We don't think God is there when we are doing secular work. Who said so? So how many characters in the Bible were sitting in the temple? Listening? Amen. So be fruitful. And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. What is he saying in that statement? All that is within me, I'm giving it to you, man. We don't deserve it, but we have it. So by faith, we can appropriate what he has. But we have to appropriate it and put it in the testimony of Jesus. We can't put it in our crooked testimonies. So you cannot ask the Lord to give you an anointing so that you can be a dishonest person. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood which is shed for you. Shed for you. Shed for you in a faith and a love you and I don't have. All things are possible through Christ who strengthens you. Teach your children to spend time with the Lord. Lay hands on that little lad and pray for him. Ask the Lord to bless him. Ask the Lord to enable him to see him. We don't have to live life in our own mediocrity. There is a Passover available to us. Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise for this process of justification that results in a Passover in each one of our lives. A Passover in a living remembrance of what Jesus has done for us in a perfect faith, in a perfect life, in a perfect love, in a perfect witness, in a perfect testimony, in a perfect nature and a perfect character. And Lord, suddenly we begin to realize that there is a humongous reality of blessings available to us as sons of the living God. It is by faith that we will receive and realize of the substance that will make us a new creation and make us walk into things that we know nothing about, Lord. So give us a seeing eye and a hearing ear. Give us a heart that will enable us, O God, to discern and to know realities that are far beyond our intelligence. To be able to perceive and be able to see and understand, O God, what needs to be done in situations where so many things are hidden from us, O God. Come through, Father. Come through today as we partake of this communion. Come through with the mind of Christ. Come through, O God, with that heart of flesh that is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Come through, O God, with that constructive work in each one of our lives to give us a clean heart, a pure heart, to give us a strength that is supernatural, to give us a courage and a conviction that is supernatural, to give us, O God, an ability to rise above our fleshly weaknesses. And Lord, you know how many fleshly weaknesses we each have. But Lord, in the faith of Jesus Christ, that flesh can be crucified, Lord, and we can realize a new life. So Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to bless these elements of the bread and wine that we will receive and realize prophetically of all that your Spirit is charged with bringing into our lives in Jesus' name. For your word declares that of his fullness we have all received and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. We ask for that realization to be manifested in our lives. Because in that realization is a justification, Father, that will enable us, O God, to do things that we never dreamt of doing before. And we thank you for such a process being worked into us by the Holy Spirit. So bless and sanctify, Lord, the prophetic dimensions of this Passover, so that it will be manifested in the Church of Jesus Christ across the world and in the heavenly places, both Jew and Gentile, that we will unveil, O God, as living tabernacles of the glory of your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise for all that you have given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that in his fullness we have all that you have for us in all eternity. The anointings, the giftings, the purpose, the understanding, the incredible abilities, O God. So we thank you that as we walk the walk of faith, Lord, we will realize of his substance and be enabled to increasingly walk in a higher plane. And it's a Passover. And in this Passover, we shall unveil as sons of God. A blessing to you, Father, forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.